Hi, and welcome to part one of week seven of Pandemics. This week, we are speaking to the other two Buffalo Jewish Federation interns, Hannah Slobotkin and Ben Wolfson. In this episode, you will hear from Hannah, a rising senior at Princeton University. Hannah, welcome. Thank you so much for being here.
So the first question is, what is your past and current involvement with the Buffalo Jewish community?
Sure. So I grew up in Buffalo. I went to Kadima from kindergarten until eighth grade. And during that time, obviously, I went to Jewish day school. And then middle school into high school, I was, I would say, somewhat involved with the youth group scene in Buffalo. I went to one USY convention, a few NCSY conventions, but my primary engagement was through NCSY summer programs in Israel. So in high school, I did TJJ, the Jerusalem Journey, and TJJAP, which is the Jerusalem Journey Ambassadors Poland. So those were my, I would say, my primary modes of engagement with the Jewish community outside of, you know, high holiday services at Temple Beth Tzedek and things like that. Throughout high school, though, I maintained like my closest friends. My closest group of friends were the ones that I had made during my time at Kadima. So I maintained that friendship circle throughout high school. And now that I'm in college, things have changed a little bit for me. So while at Princeton, I had the opportunity to serve as vice president of programming at MyHillel. That was, I would say, like a year long. During that time, I helped plan different kinds of events, Yom HaShoah programming, different study breaks, the first vegan Shabbat, which was really cool. And now, during the summer, through MyHillel's internship match program, I found out about an internship for the Jewish Federation in Buffalo. So this summer, I'm interning for both the Holocaust Resource Center and the Jewish Community Relations Council.
What have your Jewish experiences at Princeton been like?
My most important experiences at Princeton have been related to my involvement with the Jewish community. So like my freshman summer, I did this thing called the Service Focus program. And my Hillel helped sponsor me going to Jerusalem to be a first aid provider for Magen David Adom, which was, I mean, it's hard to put into words how amazing that program was for me. And then I've also gone on this one really cool heritage trip to Argentina to look at what Jewry looked like there, which was really very interesting.
You are vegan and have been for a number of years. How do you find navigating Jewish cooking and cooking in general through a vegan lens?
Right. So I'll just share a little bit about my personal like experience with veganism prior to going vegan. I wasn't raised in a kosher household, but when I went on that program that I talked about, TJJAP, I came back and decided that I didn't want to eat milk and meat together anymore. So I found that a lot of my meals, I would just avoid both of those categories altogether. So I didn't have to worry about mixing any milk and or dairy and meat. So it didn't feel as like cold turkey. And I honestly, I don't know, I found the transition very easy. When I started, I guess a lot of the things that I was missing out on were those more traditional Jewish meals. I think about the things that like my grandma makes and like brisket, anything for Passover. So I think I struggle the most with holidays. That said, I found a really awesome organization this year. I actually did a fellowship. It's called the Shemayim Fellowship. It's a Jewish vegan fellowship. So they have been a huge resource for navigating those types of issues that you might expect from being vegan and also being Jewish and wanting to make sure that whatever you're doing aligns with both value systems. So for example, I mentioned that we had our first vegan Shabbat at Princeton, and I had people who came up to me who said it was the best Shabbat meal they'd ever had. And like, so for me, I don't see it as a source of tension anymore. And I think that it's really easy to find alternatives. I mean, I think some people underestimate or overestimate how hard it is, especially if you're already keeping kosher. I really think that it's, once you understand dietary restrictions, it doesn't become that difficult. And like, I miss egg challah, but I think you can find challah without eggs that are just as good. And you often, like, for example, I used to be the president for Challah for Hunger on campus, and our recipe was already vegan. So we didn't make that adjustment to cater to certain people. It just so happened that the provided recipe did not call for eggs. And also, challah is an interesting example, because a lot of the times the egg is not to make the dough. It's just to put an egg wash on. So it's really unnecessary. And yeah, so I don't really see the tension anymore. And I think I found so many great resources for finding vegan recipes that can be used for Jewish holidays that it's not as difficult as people might think. And I think that it's also important that if you're hosting, like, this is something I was really sensitive to during my time as vice president for the Center for Jewish Life's student exec board, was whether or not people like myself in the community could fully participate in events that we put on. So I'd like to have a vegan option. Sometimes they're more tasty too.
I had no idea that there were, you know, organizations that were about veganism, yes, and so Judaism. That's super cool.
It was so great too, because with this fellowship, they had a Shabbat retreat in before all this craziness happened with coronavirus. They had a retreat, I think it was the first week of February or second week of February. So I actually got to fly out to California, and at this, I think the space is typically used as like a Jewish summer camp. I think the name is Brandeis something. Brandeis, yeah, it's like the Brandeis Institute. It's in outside of Los Angeles, and it was a fully vegan Shabbaton. And everybody there, you know, there were some vegetarians, but I would say most of the people there were vegan. All the food was vegan, and we just talked about, you know, how great it was to have an event that we could fully participate in and didn't, like I said, provide this sort of tension between being vegan and Jewish. Like, oh, that was fantastic. There are different types of speakers. I met people who had been vegan, you know, for 20 years. So they had a very different experience than I had, just because I think nowadays there's so much more available. But it was so great. It was so great. That was so much fun.
So what recipe did you bring today?
Okay, so this is a recipe that I swear by. I've eaten it every day since I moved to Pittsburgh for the summer, because I never really shop at Trader Joe's at school. The closest grocery store is a Wegmans, and I mostly ate on campus, so I didn't really have to worry about grocery shopping. But now that I'm living by myself, I've had to do that. And I don't really shop at Trader Joe's, so I looked up a special like vegan grocery list to see what things people suggested to check out. And there was this one thing, and it's a vegan pesto kale cashew sauce. Okay. And this is I think there are maybe 5 ingredients in this list. So you take that, you add a little bit of olive oil just to make it slightly runnier and turn it into a dressing. You put that over freshly chopped romaine, add in salt, pepper, and nutritional yeast. That's key, because at that point you've got this kind of, I call it like a mock Caesar dressing. It's delicious. Put that on romaine. You can add whatever other toppings you want. So I typically go for like onions, maybe some tofu, and chickpeas.
That sounds really good. And I love how simple it is. Before we go, is there any advice that you would give to people who are currently vegan or who want to start eating vegan?
Wow. So I think like I said, keep it simple. If you're looking for a resource, there's so many out there. Jewishveg.com is a good one. But I would literally just type in quick Google search, simple vegan recipes, and plenty of things will come up. And I'm sure, you know, there's something that'll jump out at you. I think also what I found to be easiest is if you're worried about having to empty your refrigerator, don't do that. Look and see what you have and see if you can find recipes that are vegan based off of what you already have in your fridge. You might find that, you know, maybe it only makes sense for you to eat vegan once a week. That's still a huge, like, for one meal a week, and then you just slowly up it until, you know, you're at a place you're comfortable with and happy about. But I say start small. You'll realize it's easier than you think. There are different sorts of choices you can make on a daily basis to work your way up to a bigger commitment of being fully vegan.
That's really good advice. Well, Hannah, that is all the questions I have for you. Thank you so much again, and everyone listening, thank you for tuning in. Make sure to check out part 2 of this week's episode to hear Ben's easy and delicious dessert recipe. See you next week.